6.
In my 50s, I accepted who I'd become and looked forward to retirement.
The sun had set by the time Charles made it to the gate at the south end of the city. Tall walls of rounded stones had been cemented together, and two guards with yellow tabards and menacing halberds stood on either side, speaking with adventurers, merchants, and farmers as they came and went.
From here I need to go southwest through a town and two villages before I reach the forest. The forest looked pretty big, so I'll need to do some searching before I find it. Hopefully the closest village can help.
He entered the line of outgoing people behind two farmers with hand carts. The wooden carts held a few bruised vegetables rolling around the bottom, likely goods that hadn't been sold. People joined behind him, and to his left, folks were entering the city, looking tired and worn after a day of adventuring.
I thought dirt from the road was an expression, but it looks closer to the truth than the game. Half these people are covered in blood and guts as well.
As the line moved forward, more came in line behind him, including one menacing fellow standing a little too close. Charles thought about saying something, but he was too old to feel intimidated by it, and the man's shadow did him a favor by blocking the sharp rays of the setting sun.
"Business?" the guard asked the farmers before him.
"A good day's work. Sold most our crop, and we're back to the farm," the elder of the two said. "Stay safe. Wolves still roam, and heard there's a gang of bandits around Thornberry. We're headed towards Oakwood, so we won't be anywhere near Thornberry, but thanks for letting us know."
The elder farmer awkwardly bowed while still holding the two handles of his cart. The guards waved them through.
"Business?"
the guard asked as Charles approached.
"Just an old man going for a walk," Charles answered.
He'd thought about being a smartass or simply saying adventuring, but he didn't feel like doing either.
"Staying around the city or going down the road?"
The guard hadn't been paying much attention before, but was now eyeing him closely.
"Down the road, I think. Anything I should know?"
Charles wanted to get on with it, and he imagined the guard did as well.
"The road isn't safe for you, especially at night. You may want to join a caravan or hire some adventurers to get where you're headed."
The man was smiling as he spoke, but there was no joy in it.
"I'll see to doing that along the way," Charles said,
and then looked at him with the eyes he gave his kids when they misbehaved. For a moment it looked like the guard would stop him, but then the moment passed and he waved him through.
"Couldn't stop my old man when he set his mind to something. Likely won't stop you either."
"Your old man sounds like the good sort,"
Charles returned as he walked out the gate and onto a dirt road that four wagons could ride side by side. Farmlands, broken by tiny groves of trees and grasslands, could be seen for miles. In the distance, he could make out the faint shades of the mountains he had seen in the model at the Adventurers' Guild. Sounds and smells of the city faded behind him as he started walking forward down the road.
"Old man, you really staying on the road by yourself?"
a baritone voice called from behind him. Charles stopped and looked back. Behind him, walking briskly to catch up, was the tall, menacing man that stood behind him in line. The unknown man wore a dark leather vest that showed meaty biceps and leather pants with a great axe strapped to his back. Leather bands wrapped around his hands, only showing his thumbs and fingers. Behind him were two pleasant-looking dark-skinned women with long hair and strung bows that they carried diagonally across their shoulders. Each had long hair and the same blue eyes and freckled faces. Tight leather pants revealed long legs, and thin white fabric tops hung loosely and were almost transparently thin.
"I was. Are you headed in that direction as well? The guard did say to go with adventurers."
"I was going that ways for a bit, as I have a quest. Is there anything I can help you with?"
"He thinks I'm an NPC.
Charles briefly wondered why that was happening before he formed words he hoped would issue a quest.
Well, young adventurer, I am headed out to the forests far to the south and wouldn't mind some company and someone to keep me safe. Unfortunately, I have no money to offer you.
A prompt appeared before Charles as soon as he finished speaking. You have offered a player the following quest. Helping Hand. You have been asked to travel with and protect an old man who is traveling into the forests of Nilth for mysterious reasons. Rewards plus 50 fame, kingdom, plus 1 fame, continent, and random skill, common. Penalty for failing quest, minus 5 fame, kingdom. Penalty for declining quest, minus 10 fame, kingdom. Time limit, none. Charles accepted and sent it to the man, his name appearing as Python Mike as he did.
"Damn it, this escort quest is too far,"
Python Mike said as he ran his hands through his head. Another prompt appeared before Charles. "Your quest has been declined. Do you wish to negotiate rewards?" Charles selected no and turned to keep walking, ignoring the cursing he could hear behind him. Many hours into the evening later, Charles was walking by himself through dark woods, regretting not offering more. He didn't have much else to offer, and likely none of it would have been something Python Mike would have wanted, but he could have tried. The forest itself wasn't scary, as it was only tall trees, what looked like the game's version of oaks and pines and elms. Bushes on either side were thick, and the sounds of a nighttime forest were easy to hear.
The earthy smell is actually pretty pleasant, too.
Even the only light being that which came from the moon and stars wasn't what was bothering Charles. What was bothering Charles was the dead bodies of the two farmers lying in the road, fully mangled and half-eaten. Even now, an enormous wolf as large as a bear sniffed at a severed hand. Charles knew he should run, but he hadn't truly been scared in decades. The feeling was as if it was new to him. He didn't panic, because that wouldn't help him. Instead, he stood, stiffly leaning on his worn staff, watching the giant wolf as it licked and nibbled at body parts. He wasn't sure exactly what set the beast off, a change in the wind or a creak of a branch, but its eyes darted up, and it crouched, looking right at him. Enormous fangs shone as it growled.
"Oh, shit!"
Charles didn't even finish his thought before it had him in his mouth, shaking him back and forth like a chew toy. The sudden motion spun his world, and then he was flying until he hit and bounced off a tree. The staff from the Adventurer's Guild snapped in half beside him.
"You have been stunned. Duration, 20 seconds.
He lay there, not even being able to blink, as the panic he was fighting earlier filled him. He couldn't react as it pounced on him, trying to claw him to death, and then gnawed on his body and head, drool covering most of his body. It picked him up and shook him again, throwing him hard into the ground before the stun wore off.
"You have been stunned. Duration, 20 seconds.
When he didn't get up, it seemed to lose interest in him at that point and turned back to eating. When Charles did stand, it stopped to look at him, but that was all.
"I don't understand why I'm not dead. I should be dead."
Shaking, Charles dry-heaved into a bush. When he was done, he just stood and watched.
"It's wrong to let it eat people, but what could I do? I was flung around like a dish rag."
Fear gripped him.
"I'm not used to being afraid, and I don't like it. I don't care for scary movies. I don't want to play a game where I am scared. What would happen if my grandkids were here, being eaten by something would give them nightmares?"
With a frown, he took another look at the wolf. Then he looked at his status, trying to figure out why he wasn't dead. A whole host of blue boxes had been blinking at the corner of his vision for almost the whole day.
"You have seen through stealth, perception plus one. You have seen through stealth, perception plus one. Congratulations, your quest has been accepted. As this is your first quest, no limit was set on your design or rewards. Your quest has been evaluated to be a master rank challenge. Congratulations, because your first quest is master ranked, you have been given the following rewards.
plus 5 to charisma, plus 10 to intelligence, plus 5 to diplomacy, plus 200 to fame, kingdom. Skill, quest giver. You have the ability to issue quests. When not hidden, other players will see you on their minimap as a source of available quests. Rewards can be system-issued or player-given. The more complex the quest you provide, the greater the reward for you and the quest-taker.
You have interacted with a higher-level spymaster, having seen through disguise. Perception, plus 5. Diplomacy, plus 10. Skill Inspect has been upgraded to Observe. You have found 13 hidden objects, 7 traps, and identified a poison. Observe is now rank 2. Perception, plus 10. You have chosen not to interact with hidden objects or traps within a spymaster's home. Wisdom, plus 5. You have willingly ingested poison. Poison resistance, plus 1. You have interacted with a gate guard and left the city at a lower level than allowed. Charisma, plus 1. Diplomacy, plus 3. Plus 5 fame, kingdom. Your quest has been declined. Charisma, minus 1. Fame, minus 20. You have walked for several miles without stopping. Constitution, plus 1. You are about to engage in combat with Direwolf, level 34. Warning, this adversary exceeds your level by 33 and is not recommended. Direwolf initiates combat. Direwolf bites for 600 attack, piercing. 600 attack, piercing, minus 5002 defense equals 0 damage. Direwolf uses the skill Shake for 800, piercing slashing attack, per second for 10 seconds. 800 attack, piercing slashing crushing, minus 5002 defense equals 0 damage. 800 attack, piercing slashing crushing, minus 5002 defense equals 0 damage. 800 attack, piercing slashing crushing, minus 5002 defense equals 0 damage. 800 attack, piercing slashing crushing, minus 5002 defense equals 0 damage. 800 attack, piercing slashing crushing, minus 5002 defense equals 0 damage. 800 attack, piercing slashing crushing, minus 5002 defense equals 0 damage. 800 attack, piercing slashing crushing, minus 5002 defense equals 0 damage. 800 attack, piercing slashing crushing, minus 5002 defense equals 0 damage. Direwolf uses the skill Toss for 400 attack, bashing, 50% chance to stun for 20 seconds. 400 attack, bashing, minus 5002 defense equals 0 damage. Stun successful. Direwolf uses the skill Claw for 800 attack, slashing. 800 attack, piercing, minus 5002 defense equals 0 damage. Direwolf bites for 600 attack, piercing. 600 attack, piercing, minus 5002 defense equals 0 damage. Direwolf bites for 600 attack piercing. 600 attack piercing minus 5002 defense equals 0 damage. Direwolf uses the skill Shake for 800 piercing slashing attack per second for 10 seconds. 800 attack piercing slashing crushing minus 5002 defense equals 0 damage. 800 attack piercing slashing crushing minus 5002 defense equals 0 damage. 800 attack piercing slashing crushing minus 5002 defense equals 0 damage. 800 attack, piercing, slashing, crushing, minus 5002 defense equals 0 damage. 800 attack, piercing, slashing, crushing, minus 5002 defense equals 0 damage. 800 attack, piercing, slashing, crushing, minus 5002 defense equals 0 damage. 800 attack, piercing, slashing, crushing, minus 5002 defense equals 0 damage. 800 attack, piercing, slashing, crushing, minus 5002 defense equals 0 damage. 800 attack, piercing, slashing, crushing, minus 5002 defense equals 0 damage.
Direwolf uses the skill Toss for 400 attack, bashing, 50% chance to stun for 10 seconds. 400 attack, bashing, minus 5002 defense equals 0 damage, stun successful.
Combat concluded. Draw. Congratulations, you have fought a superior opponent to a draw. 17,000 experience points awarded. Congratulations, you have leveled up 6 times. Would you like to level up now?
As Charles read the last bit of the combat log, his whole body flashed yellow 6 times. Unfortunately, the direwolf didn't like the color, and as soon as the last light faded, Charles was being shaken and tossed again. This time, the stun didn't happen, but Charles lay there anyway, trying to reorient his mind.
So it attacked me, but it can't hurt me. It looks like the items Bert gave me offer really good protection.
Quickly, he checked the durability and sighed in relief when it hadn't gone down. That particular sigh was just enough noise for the beast to attack him again, but now that he knew it couldn't hurt him, the fear was gone. While he didn't care for being tossed around, it looked like it could gain him levels, so he bore with it.
Eventually I'll level up enough to take this monster down so my grandkids don't have to see it.
Soon the wolf got tired of chewing on him and went back to its food. This time it netted him 4 levels, and the 4 flashes of yellow light triggered the wolf to attack again. The third attack lasted longer than the first 2, but still didn't hurt him. It gave him 3 levels, but the flashing light was ignored by the dire wolf this time in favor of licking at a puddle of blood. Charles, for his part, didn't care much for what the thing was doing if it wasn't helping him, and threw a stick at it. Again he was attacked, and he just kept doing that over and over again with the stubbornness of an old man. Charles was hanging from the mouth of the dire wolf, completely covered in drool, when he heard someone speak.
"I think he's still alive!"
a woman cried, and an arrow flew right into the dire wolf's eye. With a yelp, he was dropped roughly to the ground and watched as the monster ran off into the woods, 2 more arrows hitting its side as it crashed through bushes and bounded around trees. A man rushed forward with an enormous battle axe in 2 hands, but he stopped at the edge of the woods. 2 women followed, both with bows held ready and arrows nocked. Charles sat up and started dusting himself off. The combination of drool and dirt made it look like he was covered in mud.
"Old man, is that you?"
the warrior Python Mike asked while looking at him wildly. Even though he was tired, Charles caught on quick.
"Young man, thank God you got here on time. If you had not, I would have been a goner."
Charles did his best to look relieved.
You...
He seemed at a loss for words until one of the women approached and whispered in his ear. With a scream, he turned and kicked a rock out of the road and then looked back at both.
"You sure we can't get out of it?"
They both nodded with a solemn look. Python Mike turned towards Charles with a defeated look.
"Honored elder, is there something I can help you with?"
Charles turned around and pretended to dust himself off. He didn't know if he could look the man in the face without laughing if he didn't prepare himself. After a few moments, he turned back and nodded.
"Young man, I believe we discussed this before. Have you changed your mind?"
Just as he hoped, the quest issuance box popped up in front of him. "You have offered a player the following quest. Helping Hand, you have been asked to travel with and protect an old man who is traveling into the forest of Nilth for mysterious reasons. Rewards +50 fame kingdom, +1 fame continent, and random skill, common. Penalty for failing quest, -5 fame kingdom. Penalty for declining quest, -10 fame, kingdom. Time limit, none." With a long pause beforehand, Python Mike answered,
"Yeah.
Congratulations, your quest has been accepted."
Charles nodded.
"It's much appreciated, but before I can go anywhere, we need to bury them and hunt that beast before it kills anyone else. And I need food and rest. I've been chewed on for several hours."
Charles spoke without thinking, mostly wanting to see Python Mike's face twist up in the delay. He was pretty sure the man had picked a harem quest line, and if he could keep him too busy to enjoy it, that sounded like fun.
"You have offered a player the following quest. Bless and bury the dead. A dire wolf has left the remains of 2 men strewn across the road. Will you bury them with respect so they do not raise as undead? Rewards +50 fame, kingdom, +10 silver, Borg's letter. Penalty for failing quest, -5, kingdom. Penalty for declining quest, -10 fame, kingdom. You will be haunted by 2 specters. Time limit, 2 days.
You have offered a player the following quest. Death to the direwolf. A direwolf has left the remains of 2 men strewn apart the road. It is unknown if it will continue its slaughter, but can you live with knowing you could have prevented it? Rewards, +50 fame, kingdom, +10 silver, unknown. Penalty for failing quest, -5 fame, kingdom. Penalty for declining quest, -10 fame, kingdom. You will be haunted by 2 specters. Time limit, 2 days.
Mike's eyes grew to the size of saucers as he read the fonts. Slowly he whispered, "Jackpot," and accepted both quests. Meanwhile, one of the 2 sisters, though only a slightly wider nose marked the difference in their appearance, came over to Charles and took his arm.
You poor thing. Tired, hungry, and dirty. The beast really almost had you, didn't he?
Her tone of voice was clearly for show, but Charles decided to play along.
I don't know what I would have done without you three showing up.
Well, there's a stream nearby. Let's go get you cleaned up. I'm Lelabel, and that's Maribel. She's going to cook something right up. Mike, do you?
Her voice faded away because all three had noticed that Mike had already started digging graves. Charles, though, had to say something.
Excuse me, but what are you doing?
He paused in his digging, looking out of a hole he had already dug that was 4 feet deep.
Digging some graves for these fellows, just like you asked.
Is he simple?
Charles briefly glanced at Lelabel to get a look back that meant, see what I have to deal with? Charles just sighed.
Young man, I don't know if you've given it as much thought as I have in my old age, but I don't believe I'd want to be buried in the middle of the road with folks always walking on me.
The shovel stopped mid-swing, and soft swearing could be heard. Maribel walked over and looked down inside. A few jokes about the wrong hole later, and Mike was in a good mood as he refilled the spot.
To be young and dumb again.
Charles left them at it as he followed Lelabel to the stream. Even with Lelabel's help, Charles was still washing mud from crevices of his body that he wasn't sure how it had gotten into when Mike showed up covered in blood from his hands to his shoulders to clean himself.
I've bagged him up and Mare's looking for a spot to put him. Any preferences?
He asked as he bent over to rinse the blood off. Charles just shook his head and got out of the stream. He wasn't sure why the man had decided to rinse off upstream from him, but figured it may be a flaw in his intelligence. Maybe the women in his harem were some kind of supplement he needed for that. Soon they smelled a cook fire and followed the smell to find a campsite already set up. With a full stomach from a bowl of stew and a soft bedroll, Charles waved them off to go seek out the den of the direwolf while he went to sleep. Charles dozed under the later afternoon sun, not truly sleeping because of the light and the heat, but resting just the same. A rustle in distant bushes stirred him, and he sat up to watch Mike, the two ladies, and another woman with wolf ears and a furry tail come from the bushes, followed by what must have been a litter of brown and black direwolf puppies. Two new blinking notifications in the corner of his vision drew his attention, and he looked at them as the four approached.
Congratulations! The quest you issued has been completed.
Player character Python Mike has successfully completed your quest, Death to the Direwolf. He has slain a direwolf mother while injured and in its sleep. His unknown reward has been determined to be direwolf pets for him and all companions. Due to your quest being completed in one half of the given time frame, additional rewards have been granted. You have been offered the following reward for issuing this quest— 1 direwolf puppy.
Direwolf puppy.
Level 0-60 pet.
Congratulations! The quest you issued has been completed.
Player character Python Mike has successfully completed your quest, Bless and Bury the Dead. After finding the remains of other victims of the direwolf mother, he and his companions blessed their bones and converted the den into a crypt. So long as this crypt is not disturbed, the dead will rest peacefully. Due to your quest being completed in one half of the given time frame, additional rewards have been granted. You have been offered the following reward for issuing this quest. 1 dead man's coin.
Dead man's coin.
Use. Summons the closest angry specter to fight on your behalf. Consumed after use.
Well, that's interesting.
Charles raised his hand in greeting as they approached, and they waved back. One of the puppies leaped out and scurried to him to sit at his feet. Smaller than he thought it would be, the puppy's head still reached his hip. He bent down to pat it on the head and scratch it behind the ears.
Charles, good to see you up and about. You looked worn out earlier, one of the sisters called.
Is that Lelabel or Maribel? Hell, I'll just call them the twins. Nobody will blame an old man for not remembering their name.
Charles nodded his head.
It's good to see you safe and sound as well,
he answered good-naturedly.
Resting did wonders for my mood.
Mike approached and bowed respectfully, fur and blood still caked on parts of his armor.
We have completed the quests.
Charles didn't know what to say, so instead he simply answered,
Oh?
Mike grinned at that and began to regale him with the story of how they tracked the blood of the beast to its den, and how the beastkin cleric, Titha, was already there watching it closely. Apparently they joined forces to bravely slay it in its sleep, risking everything to sneak inside the den. How they found the pups nursing at its tits and rescued them, how the bones of many were in piles throughout, and each needed a blessing. Charles nodded along, asking questions where appropriate, and then looked towards Titha at the conclusion.
"So I have to thank you for this as well, young lady?"
he asked. The woman was beautiful, with a full figure covered only by bare animal skins, brown eyes and pale skin, with silvery white hair. Wolf ears on the sides of her head turned occasionally, and her tail seemed to wag unconsciously at the attention.
"Yes, honored elder, I could not stand by and not offer help. I live to serve," she said.
Under her breath, she whispered in a voice she thought only Mike could hear,
"And be dominated."
Charles, though, heard.
That there is the type of woman to get a man in trouble. Something is wrong with her.
He watched her for a moment, seeing how long she would hold her bow until he responded. It seemed almost indefinite, and he glanced at Mike, holding his pointer finger up in the universal "wait just a moment" sign. When she didn't appear to be willing to rise from her bow without acknowledgement, Charles knew something was truly wrong here.
"Good thing I'm in such a good mood, or I'd have to let Mike suffer the consequences of this one. Damn women. They randomly get the wannabe-dominated burr stuck up their tail and are complete idiots till they get it out."
From his inventory, he withdrew the baton of subduing and cracked her over her shoulder, saying,
"Subdue!"
As she fell, both the other women started screaming and Python Mike started yelling, drawing his great axe. Even the puppies were yipping excitedly. Charles just chuckled and put his baton away, gesturing to the woman now unconscious and prone on the ground.
"Mike, this one isn't for you, young man. Watch what happens when she wakes up."
Mike, for his part, hadn't stopped yelling and was being held back by the other two. They retreated to the far side of the clearing, whispering between themselves, with several pups following them. It took a while for him to calm himself, and he came back over, glaring.
"You better know what you're doing, old man, or I'll leave you right here."
He barely spat those words out as he crossed his arms over his chest, his axe still in one hand. The other two women had disappeared into the underbrush, but Charles didn't pay them any mind.
"They know better than to get involved in something that benefits them."
With a groan, Titha stirred. Her tail made limp motions slowly that seemed to increase. She pushed herself up until she was on her hands and knees and looked up at Charles with great happiness on her face. Tears streamed down her cheeks and her tail wagged so fast it was beating dust up from the ground around it.
"Master!"
she screamed with joy as her body vibrated.
"Congratulations! You have accepted a new companion."
"Shit! I didn't want a new companion. I'll think of some way to get rid of her as soon as I can. Loud enough with the other idiots."
"Be quiet and look down,"
Charles said as he turned towards Python Mike, ignoring the blinking blue boxes that popped up. Mike, for his part, was in shock, looking back and forth between the beastkin beauty and Charles.
"What did you do?"
he asked, his eyes bewildered. Charles ignored the question and just watched as emotions splashed across the man's face. Anger, sadness, humiliation, outrage, and eventually the roulette wheel landed on anger again.
"Why? Why did you do this?"
he sputtered what should have been a question, like an accusation.
"Master?"
the woman squeaked, peeking up.
"I didn't tell you to look up,"
Charles answered, and she quickly looked back. Both men watched as the tail flailed wildly in response. Charles sighed and looked back at Mike, offering the baton. Mike looked down at it and then at Titha, but just shook his head.
I need a moment. Can we start walking? I think better when I walk.
Titha,
Charles said, still watching Python Mike.
Yes, master.
Out of the corner of his eye, he saw her jump up and clasp her hands in front of her. A giddy grin that would have been infectious in any other circumstance lit her face.
Pack up. We're going.
He turned and walked out to the road.
Yes, master,
she answered with dull resignation in her voice.
Best way to convince a woman who wants to be dominated that she's an idiot is to have her do chores. Nothing about chores is ever exciting.